everybody. Welcome to Viewing Angles, the only podcast that anybody has ever listened to. I'm your main host, Dan, and with me as always is Elmer and Robert. Say hi, boys.
I like to wrestle. Famous catchphrase from the movie The Wrestler.
Yeah. Isn't that The Rock's famous saying?
Can you smell?
I like to wrestle.
Oh, boy. So if you didn't catch by that intro, we are going to be talking about The Wrestler, this podcast, the Darren Aronofsky psychological thriller starring Mickey Rourke and Marissa Tomei, follows the work of a out of work. He's not retired. He's an aging wrestler.
He's a freelance wrestler right?
Yeah, he's a wrestler for. It seems like he was kind of big. He had a big fight.
Yeah, I mean they made toys about him.
Yeah, he was a famous wrestler who's now older, and he's got some failing health issues, and he's not as famous as he used to be, but he is still wrestling. And I can understand that Elmer and I have seen this movie before, but Rob, this is your first time seeing it. What did you think?
I thought this movie was pretty fucking great. Large improvement over The Fountain that we watched last week.
Huge improvement.
But I appreciated how, like, the brevity of this movie, but part of me does feel like it kind of hurt it. Like, I would not mind spending more time exploring his, because the only relationship he has in the movie is with his daughter and the stripper Aunt May, but I kind of wish we got more time between him and his daughter. Like, I think we explore the relationship between him and the stripper well enough, but the whole thing with his, that was my biggest gripe with the movie, is that his relationship with his daughter seems so fucking, it happens so quickly.
He
could have spent another
so
like 20 minutes. Yeah,
he fucked it up so like quickly to getting it back, and that's what makes this movie, I think, hard to watch. Elmer, you can chime into how it came to you for your second time, but for me, like, watching this again, you watch him at the bottom and you're kind of like, just stop, dude, please just stop doing this thing. And then he does, and he gets his life on track for literally 10 minutes, and then immediately just crashes back down.
Yeah, he just can't function in a normal world. That's not how he's built.
Yeah, I don't know if it's normal or not, but it's he is obviously geared up for the ring. So basically, the movie synopsis is this guy is an aging wrestler, and he's really just kind of past the glory days, doing these like independent fights, like you were saying, or with like in convention centers. Like, this is a thing that happens. I've seen.
Yeah, this is like low tier wrestling. Like, apparently isn't this how like people make it into the big leagues? Isn't this where they recruit wrestlers from?
Yeah, like the independent circuits. Do any of you guys watch wrestling?
No.
I've always like respected it from afar. I think especially as I got older and met people who were like not cartoon wrestling fans and liked it. You know, cuz I think it always does get a bad rap, and I think if once you're able to just like, obviously, most people know it's fucking not real, right? And the whole, I mean, I think like wrestling documentaries and shit are fucking amazing because all that shit seems so crazy. Uh-huh. So I have like a weird fascination for it, but I've never like actively watched it. But I mean, Dan, the first time I saw this movie, I was in high school, in a high school classroom with a substitute teacher who put this on. So I remember this movie just being really gross, and like, you know, I thought maybe it wasn't going to hold up as well, mm-hmm. because I was like, my little boy brain probably, you know, liked it for no reason. But
sure. Yeah. For no reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just cause I was like, it was like, it's like a hard ass movie. You know, I was like, can it be this good? But I really liked it on a second viewing. I was just able to appreciate more that I obviously just couldn't at the time. Like, some of the oners I think are like really fucking neat. And I like how fucking just dirty like it not only just looks and depicts, but it just feels fucking gross.
Dude, I love the film grain on this film.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it was filmed on a Super 8 camera. Like,
yeah, so that's why I was surprised. Like, I didn't realize this was filmed after The Fountain, because The Fountain looks so clean. Like, that's clearly an aesthetic choice. Like, very, very sterile-looking film.
Oh, yeah.
But this, yeah, this movie, it looks like it was shot on a handheld camera, like a fucking Super 8. Just, it feels like a documentary at times.
It is very low budget. Like, I mean, I'm sure Mickey Rourke, Marissa Tomei, I'm sure they were all working for scale. And it's just, it's, you can tell that this was made for $6 million, which shows, I think. I mean, you got Mickey Rourke, yeah, who is kind of a has-been actor, who, I guess, who has talent, but he was like an early up-and-coming star, and then he retired to become an amateur boxer. And then had a lot of plastic surgery, didn't come out that well, and now he looks like that, obviously. and he's been doing kind of like nothing since. He's been in like Iron Man 2.
He's got that Marvel money.
I don't know.
He's got that Expendables money.
Yeah, the Expendables, true. And then he was in something else too. He's in Iron Man 2. He was in Sin City. He played Marv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had like some stuff there, but still not like anywhere near A-list.
Well, that's always what I wanted, because I remember when this movie first came out, way back when I was a youngin. I heard like everybody was talking about this movie is like, oh, it's the return of Mickey Rourke. I'm just like, what is he returning from? Like, was Mickey Rourke big before this movie? Because this is honestly, I think, the biggest movie I've heard of that he's in.
Yeah, I think he was reasonably big. It was more of like this is the hot young star, and then he changed to be a boxer, and that was kind of like the big, like, what is this guy doing? You know, he's the same class.
Fucking crazy Hollywood. What, I wonder if he was any good at boxing.
I think you can look up his record, which I can right now. He had 27 wins and 3 losses.
Wow.
That's good.
So he was a good boxer.
Damn.
Dude could fight.
Mickey? Okay. Yeah.
That's not nothing. So,
it's better than most records of boxers.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Exactly. So he, what's funny is that his name is Philip Andre Rourke Jr., and he's got another name that's Eddie Cook. I don't know what that's from. But I think he's like this, you know, he was in Diner, which has got like a, you know, Kevin Bacon in it. Like he's in the same kind of class as that. And I think he was always supposed to be like a big star, and it just never worked out. And then he came back, and I assume he had some other issues. So, yeah, he's back in this movie, and he's great, I think, in this movie.
Oh yeah,
he's also ripped.
Very. He's what, like 50?
He's 55 in this movie.
Okay.
Maybe 54.
He's fucking jacked. I bet you that steroid injection was a real steroid injection.
Yeah, I wonder if he was really roided. I got some trivia later.
He has to have been. Like, I do not believe that anyone 55 can look like that naturally.
Right, and it's just like, look, because he's got kind of like still like saggy like skin like on his neck and stuff, and you know, with his shirt on, he looks just like a regular old guy. And then he takes his shirt off, and it's like, who is this guy?
He looks like a pretty big, regular old guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want to.
With a lot of plastic surgery.
Right, yeah. He looked like maybe like Gold's Gym, like Venice Beach type bodybuilder who's just out of favor.
So now. A steroid user.
True. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I enjoyed this movie a lot on the second viewing as well. But I also had just a feeling of like dread that when I first started watching the movie, I was so depressed, and I was like, there's no way this can pay off. Like, there's no way that they can turn all of this like misery into something that's actually worth watching. And then by the end, I was like, ah, shit, this was so good. Cause it is like literally it's a character who really ends up right back where he started. He doesn't really grow. The only thing he grows is like, I gotta get back in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, I think the growth comes from, like, I mean, not to say it's less of growth and more of a reckoning, and that he realizes that it's too late to turn back.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even try, though. Like, he literally...
I mean, he tries and he fucks up real bad. You know, he tries to talk to his daughter. He tries to get a regular job at, like, the deli counter, which, you know, I don't blame him for cutting his finger to get away from the fucking customers. That shit sucks, but it was funny. I loved his exit from that job and how, like, he was playing it off like it was a wrestling match.
Yeah, just smashing stuff like he's the heel.
Yeah.
It was so upsetting to watch him do literally, like, the bare minimum and, like, succeed and then immediately, like, take the goodwill. Like, oh, yes, for an extra shift. Like, oh, it's the deli. Yeah, you just, like, scoop stuff into a thing and give people the meat they ask for, and that's, like, a steady job for you. That's what you can handle. And it's like, oh, you got your, you know, daughter a gift, a nice, thoughtful thing that you helped the local stripper, like, pick out for you. And yeah, then you take her to, like, the boardwalk. Oh, that's fun. And then you immediately go on a Coke binge and sleep through your dinner date on a Saturday. Oh, my God. It was so just upsetting to watch.
Yeah. I mean, that's the worst part about, like, nobody having a fucking cell phone in this movie. I get that it was 2008, but...
and this dude's poor
so
as
many
fuck.
Things could have been avoided. Yeah. You can get cell phones for free.
I mean, it's not hard, and the fact that he's, like, buying all these, like, drugs, like, the amount
yeah,
of, like,
he
the
has
drug
money for
is,
steroids.
I mean,
I feel like
he wasn't even able to pay for all the steroids. I mean, the dude clearly spending money at a strip club too. I think he's just not making great financial decisions, and maybe cell
phones,
like,
what's
at
the
bottom
cost?
Of the list.
$70. Keep the change. I can't afford to get in my trailer.
How good was the scene though, where, like, there's one scene where he's enjoying his job at the deli. And he's, like, flirting with the old ladies. He's like, hey, catch this fucking mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
It's just so...
Touchdown!
It's so, like, fucking wholesome.
Yeah. Go he long! Go long!
Yeah. If the stripper hadn't turned him down. Oh, my God. Overall, I think it's a really great movie. And especially, like, it's so interesting to see the difference between The Fountain, which is this... higher concept, I mean, and also higher budget. There's a lot more money in that movie. Mm-hmm. And just to see him, like, strip it back and be like, oh, this guy can film, like, these very personal moments, even though he needs to add in a little bit of body horror just to keep us on our fucking toes.
Oh, for sure. But I do think that's definitely what Aronofsky excels at. Like, I don't think he's not as skilled with, like, the grand storytelling of The Fountain. But, you know, I think his best films are, you know, Requiem for a Dream and The Wrestler and Black Swan. And those are all very, very deeply intimate while also psychologically horrifying stories.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's where he excels. And I think that's where he should stay. And, you know, to a certain extent, Mother, too, although Mother is a lot more conceptual.
Yeah, just keeping it to these, like, weird personal interactions and showing us these people who are... very damaged and very much in the place that they're going to be. And mm-hmm. you hope that they have some way out, but I think his movies deal with this question of, like, can we really decide our fate? You know, is there, what is choice, like, really for these people with, like, The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke, Randy is trying to, like, do the best thing he can. And he's, like, executing on it. Like, he's doing a reasonably good job. He just can't. At the end is already solved. He's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go back to wrestling. I'm gonna die doing this. As much as I want to not try and do this, this is how my life is gonna end. And the same way in The Fountain, Hugh Jackman is, like, trying to do all these things throughout time, but he can't solve the end game of death for his lover. And I think that could be just an influence on Aronofsky, you know, from his parents getting cancer and his reckoning with mortality. But this era of work, even Requiem to a Dream, which is before this, still mm-hmm. deals with this, like, finality. These people can't escape their addictions. Like, no matter what they're going to try, they're going to end up, they're always going to end up with their, you know, arm amputated or ass to ass, you know?
Yeah. I think it's ass to ass.
Ass to ass.
It does feel a little bit nihilistic, that type of worldview, but I don't know. I do think part of it is a reckoning of just, like, yeah, shit's too far gone, and it's honestly sadder to try to watch them try to struggle it back instead of just accepting their fate. which I know doesn't seem like the message of any of his movies, but I kind of do like the parallels that he draws between wrestling as a profession and stripping as a profession in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty clever. And it makes me wonder, I know we don't follow her storyline that thoroughly, but the way that she is wanting to get fucking Aunt May wants to get out of the stripping profession because she has a kid and she's like, this isn't what I should be doing. Like, I'm only going to be doing this for so much longer. I'm trying to get out of here. I wonder if she ends up making it out or if she succumbs to the same fate that Mickey Rourke does in the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a good question. And it's definitely like the question of like age in this too, of like being pushed aside when you're older is a big theme in this movie. They make kind of constant acknowledgments to the character's age and how it's like, oh, you're still doing this? Like, this is probably not the best thing for you. And it's like, this is literally the only thing I know. I've only worked with my body and now my body's breaking down. And I think that's a very interesting theme that was like hard for me to kind of like grasp at, you know, and as we have like our parents, you know, getting older, it's an interesting thing to think about, at least on my perspective of like, eventually society will deem that our parents, they're just like, here's a check. Don't die, please. Like, you don't need to work. You're good. Just like hang out for whatever that's time you retirement. Got left. And these people cannot financially afford that. Or I think accept it through their pride. And that's an interesting theme within the movie.
Yeah, it is interesting because they don't really talk about retirement. I think he's clearly addicted to this, and he also is. I think he's addicted to the rush of the crowd. You know, he talks a lot about like, you know, I don't do it for me. I do it for the crowd because that's what really gets him going. Like, that's better than any drug he could consume.
Sure. Yeah.
But he's also very clearly financially desperate to continue performing because there's literally no way he can make ends meet without doing these gigs. Like, even the deli job, I think, you know, he was making less money doing that than just doing these wrestling gigs where he was getting stapled
goddamn
for an audience.
All right. I got some categories. I got a revamp of these categories.
Ooh. Oh yeah, boys. Give me the revamp.
Yeah, I got some different ones and some of the same ones. So we'll go through, see what we think. Number one, you know, it's the same. This is the biggest body slam. Who's the MVP of the movie?
I like it.
And I think,
I mean, it's got to be Mickey Rourke, right?
It's got to be Mickey Rourke for this one. I think he's clearly carrying 90% of the movie.
Yeah.
Everyone else is showing up. Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to the fucking lunatic that suggests the staple gun.
Oh, my
that,
God.
I believed him. I was scared. I think that's a feat.
That is a fucking feat. The staple gun is fucked up.
Oh man, backyard wrestling is a fucking scene. Oof.
Yeah, that was and we'll get up to that. So I think Mickey Rourke, we can pretty handily give it to. Great performance, way too ripped for things to be cool. He was scarily jacked.
Oh yeah.
And when you see him do what do they call it, the Ram Slam?
Mhm.
Oh my God. Like, the first time you see it, you're just like, that's like, wrestling is fake, but that's too real for him. That fucking,
he's getting hurt.
That is pain. All right. And I got a new category for you. It's called the hot sauce. It's the aspect character of the movie that adds just the right amount of kick. You know, it doesn't overpower the movie, but just like, oh, I like to see that in there. It helped.
Ooh, just a fun little flavoring to the movie.
Fun little spice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give the opening nominations are the guy who suggests the staple gun, Shirley. the Todd Barry,
yes.
His Mickey Rourke's boss at the grocery store.
I was like, who the fuck is this guy? I've seen his fucking face. What movies has he been in? And it's like, oh, he hasn't been
Who the fuck is Todd Barry? Todd Barry.
Yeah.
Spicy Honey, Todd one Barry. Of the best specials.
Yeah. Spicy Honey. And then I'll give it to Evan Rachel Wood. I think barely, like, she is in it for so little that I think she would count. Adds like the right little spice to it. And then also I love the landlord. who's like, I'm good for it. He's like, yeah, you'll be good for it when you give me my money. It's like, ah, come on, come on. He's like, no, you'll get in when you give me my, like, completely won't let him go for it. Or I'll accept any wrestler, especially the drug deal wrestler. I think he's great.
Yeah. Oh, the big guy, the roid guy?
Oh, yeah, the big wrestler. The roid guy who's, like, yeah, dealing
the with roid the wrestler.
That's such a good scene when he's like, let me see him. And the guy just flexes for him. It's so big.
So huge. I think personally, I'm going to go with Todd Barry. This is a tough one. I think him, Randy going into the room and seeing him watching porn, he's like, hey, can you knock? No, let's try it again. And then he knocks and he busts out the door immediately.
Yeah, that's my winner.
What the fuck do you want?
Yeah, I'd give it to that guy too. If we can't, I guess Marissa Tomei is too big of a character to be the hot sauce.
Right, she's definitely the hot sauce. But you know what we're talking about. I'm trying to differentiate the category.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next is I took the rewatchable scene. I think this might be just better for the types of movies we've been watching. Is the car crash scene, the scene that's so bad you have to watch.
Okay. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So I'll give the scene of him like hitting on the girl or the girl hitting on him in the bar, that whole sequence of him just like doing coke and like banging her and then like waking up and falling asleep. It's just like, oh,
dude,
God.
The firefighter fetish.
Oh, the firefighter
fetish. That was hilarious.
Oh, I love that. Oh, you're like a big, strong firefighter. I was like, yeah, whatever you're saying. The part where he's trying to pick up Marissa Tomei, like a customer trying to pick up like a stripper.
Oh, it's so painful.
So painful.
Hey, but it works.
Yeah, I guess it worked until it didn't.
All you got to do is mix in a
until
heart
he killed
attack
himself.
In there.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Exactly. And then I'll give it to the scene, just like the entire fucked up fight. Where it's like, yeah, we're doing barbed wire and staples.
Staple guns and fluorescent lights. Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit was intense.
The last one is the final fight when he's just like so obviously done. Like he's going to fucking die.
Yeah.
I don't know if this counts, but can I nominate the scene where he eventually cuts his finger? Like, because I think it's right after. Yeah. Either he fucks shit up with his wife, with his daughter, right? When he doesn't show up.
Yeah, and Marissa Tomei tells him to, like, fuck off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just too much.
It's also when the dude recognizes him at the deli, and he's like, no, I'm not the Ram, I'm not the fucking Ram. And, like, the dude won't leave him alone, so he just fucking jams his finger into it.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's a rough one. I think mine, personally, is the rough fight when they're just, like, jumping off, like, ladders into like barbed wire tables and shit and going through plate glass.
Yeah, that shit is crazy. And shout out to the follow-up scene where they're stitching him up after it and you really get a close-up of all the injuries he sustained. And then
the
he also has a heart attack.
He gets glass in his back and then he also has a heart attack.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, that's a rough one for sure.
What about you guys? How do you feel?
I mean, it's by your description, I feel like I can't pick my own nomination, but that is to me the most upsetting scene. But even this time,
it's like
I can't
turn away.
I knew it was coming, and I like literally opened Twitter as I heard the guy being like, you're the Ram. Because I just something about like fingers specifically.
And it's so like in
fucks
like,
me up.
You don't even really know what happened. Like, you can't even see it. You're just like, oh, there's a shit ton of blood.
Oh, okay.
And he's like bleeding down his hand.
I wouldn't know. I assume they just showed it.
So that's the opposite of a car crash. That you, it was, that's a toe in the line because you're looking away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, the scene that's actually kind of rewatchable, it probably is that fucked up fight. Just because it's so cool how it's cut. What a smart decision.
Yeah, to show, like, them coming off and then be like, oh, you're doing that crazy stuff. Like, sorry about the table throw. He's like, Olive. And they're like picking him apart. God. Oh, and then he wakes up in the hospital and he's so pale.
Yeah.
Like, he looks
like
a
guy. He got real fucked up.
Oh, my God.
He also just,
you had a fucking
has boxer face. right? Like, because he does. And that serves this character so well.
The face a shit ton of times.
Yeah, like, it just, yeah. I mean, it just, it helps so much for this fucking role.
Yeah.
He's in rough shape. God.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into nitpicks. I've got a few nitpicks. Any of you guys got any right off the bat? My first one, I think, is pretty clear, is that I think it's weird that Mickey Rourke is so beaten and obviously like a broken down wrestler. Marissa Tomei is still very hot. Like, it's uncomfortable that they're trying, like, even when the guys are like, "What are you, my mom? You're so old." And they're and then he goes into the room and it's like, "Oh, it's Marissa Tomei." Still like 37 or something, like, still really like in great shape and very attractive. Does not look old at all.
Sure, maybe old in relation to
old for the industry.
19-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
But like, I was really like hoping that Mickey Rourke just murdered those people,
right?
Because that was my only nitpick, is just how fucking dumb it was to try to sell me on the fact that anyone would be like, "She's too old."
Yeah, and even like any time in the movie when she's going up, like, "Hey, you want to dance?" Like, these guys are in a strip club. There's no way that like the strippers at this club are hotter than Marissa Tomei. Like, that's a strong nitpick.
Also, I don't believe that people at strip clubs are that picky.
Yeah, like, just a very attractive dancer comes up and is like, "Hey, you want to dance?" Like, yeah, no, I've been waiting for somebody to come up to me and say that. I don't know. Pretty big nitpick with me.
have you ever been to a strip club?
I've never been to a strip club.
All right.
Are you about to enlighten us? Have you ever seen?
No, it's not something I want to. It's not that. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it on the podcast. We can talk about it after.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Subscribe to our Patreon, and then we can.
Yeah, well, you'll get the fucking deleted scenes.
The bonus content.
For the $5 tier. Yeah.
Yeah. $10 and we'll videotape it. oh, God. My other... This is actually, like, a real nitpick of, like, the story. So, after, like, Randy's real down on his luck, he does this fight, and he gets, like, destroyed. The doctors fix him up. And then he has a heart attack. A heart attack where he has to go to the emergency room, get surgery, some kind of bypass on his heart, probably, goes to the hospital. He already can't afford to, like, get into his trailer. Yeah, how the fuck is he?
I highly doubt that the wrestlers in, like, union is providing health insurance.
Exactly.
To him. So.
So where's this money coming? Like, how is he affording this?
I don't know. Is Aronofsky European? Like, maybe he just doesn't understand how American healthcare works.
I'm like, that should have been a whole plot point, is how fucked he is right now. Like,
the movie should end when he gets the bill.
he jumps off the
bridge.
He would just kill himself right there. Yeah,
I think that's what I was so like thrown back by that. It's like, wait, they're just gonna let him walk out of here? Like, and then the promoter is still giving him money? Like, what? Is there insurance on? Like, I mean, maybe we should have had a wrestling fan come on here and explain this to us. But do you think like the show was insured, and that if this guy like gets hurt, but also like, I don't know how you could, it seems like they would get out of it by saying like, "Oh, he had a heart attack after the show, not related to it."
Yeah. I mean, they definitely don't give a fuck at these kind of shows. I think Aronofsky's just playing fast and loose with it. Cause who cares?
Well, I think he just got out of the hospital, and he's also just like, he clearly doesn't have any, like, he doesn't have a whole lot of records. He doesn't have any credit cards. He doesn't have a cell phone. Like, he uses payphones all the time. So it's like, he probably doesn't fucking care. Like, who knows how much, he's probably in a shit ton of debt to begin with. He's just like,
that is true.
What the fuck does this debt mean to me? Like,
he's probably got, like, his credit score is probably like 10.
Yeah.
I never actually thought about that, but yeah, like, they can't, like, hold you.
There's no debtor's prison.
Right.
Yeah.
And like,
well, even like they're
going
to let you. Right? Like,
yeah, no. Hospitals are not prisons. They're not going to hold you in the hospital because you can't pay a bill, which would be hilarious.
There's just no consequences. Especially, we should all just walk out of hospitals. Rip that.
Well,
there's
consequences if you're trying to be a functioning adult.
Yeah, you can't buy a house.
That's what I'm saying. That's the problem. We can't be functioning adults. That's how we fight the system. If we all live out of our vans, they can't charge us hospital bills.
That's free healthcare, baby.
That's free, yeah. Get a job. as long as you have a job in a trailer, you're set. What are they gonna do? Like garnish your wages, maybe. But if you're not making enough money,
I mean, this dude doesn't have a W-2. They pay him under the table for sure.
He's probably legally dead. Like,
for absolutely.
My God. All right. What do you think happened to the mom? I guess not quite a nitpick, but they're like, who's marrying this guy? And then not like getting mad when he's like, I'm gonna wrestle forever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I thought about it that much, but maybe the mom was like a good mom to the daughter and was just like, I don't want to see you, the wrestler. And the girl's in college, right? So she isn't she's not going to be under the watch of her mom.
Right, I guess the mom could technically still be in the picture. They never really mention her, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think so at all. But she was, the most interesting part about the mom is that at some point she did, you know, fuck the ramp.
Right, that is like, easy that's to understand.
But I want to know. It could have been like a fireman situation, you know, like the fireman fetish situation. Like, I wonder if like he was actually ever like. Do they say if he was married to her or not, or is that just his daughter?
I don't think he ever has like a ring or be like, oh, my ex-wife, that ball and chain. Like, he never says anything. It's like, yeah, I got a daughter. Oh God. And you guys got any nitpicks? I think I'm covered like 90% of them.
It was really just those guys calling her old that triggered me.
Oh, yeah. You're just like, what? What? Because you could have probably shown me, like if they hadn't told me, like, how old Marissa Tomei was, like, yeah, like 30 maybe? I don't know. Max? It's upsetting.
How old was she? She was like 30-something in this movie?
I don't think she was. I think she's, like, 40-something right now. So I think this movie came out in... It's like
12 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, so she was like... Oh, no. She was 43. So she's 55.
Holy shit.
She's as old now as Mickey Rourke was in that movie.
Yeah, that's fucking... That's wild.
That's some trivia corner for you.
Oh, boy.
Boxing will... Yeah, fuck you up. All right. I got some pretty good trivia coming for you guys. We're officially entering the trivia corner. So the first one is Mickey Rourke actually blades in this movie. He cuts his own forehead with the razor. That's real. To add realism to like the role. So he actually did that.
So here's my question. Do you think that was Mickey's suggestion or was that Aronofsky's suggestion?
How do you have that conversation?
Yeah, hey Mickey. Cut yourself for real, you little bitch. I bet.
Yeah, it's like if you're not a pussy, you're gonna cut yourself. Like,
I feel like Mickey Rourke's got to be on some kind of thing. Must have some kind of thing going on. Maybe he knows professional wrestlers or something. Where he's like, nah, this will be
that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, this will be good for this movie where I blade my. I wonder if they.
I think the blade thing is a real thing, Dave.
Yeah, not anymore. You can. It's weird that you.
Well,
can
yeah,
watch
not anymore.
Old wrestling, and you see them covered in blood. And then they made a choice at some point to be like, yeah, no more blood. Like, you can't blade anymore. And now they're just really sweaty.
Yeah.
So I can fathom that was in the script. And Mickey Rourke was like, yo, if these people used to do it for real, I'm not going to not do it for real, Darren. Come on.
Yeah. He probably had a real heart attack in that scene.
Yeah. The movie's supposed to end a different way, but they just kind of ran with it. After he threw up and they're like, keep it rolling.
Don't stop, this is art.
Yeah. So apparently due to the film's modest budget, Axl Rose donated the use of Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine free of charge for the final match.
Amazing. Yeah, I can only imagine how much it actually costs to license that song.
Oh yeah, and you can see in the movie, in the end credits, they say like the cast and crew would like to specially thank Axl Rose.
Damn, for,
like, that's for rad.
They don't that say like for cool. You know, they just say we'd like to thank him special. Which is hilarious.
I have a question for you guys on this note. If you can't get Sweet Child of Mine, let's say Axl Rose, not such a nice guy, he says no, but you can get any other song you want, what song works for this character? What walkout?
Well, Welcome to the Jungle,
Heat of the Moment.
Axl Rose owns that too.
You said any other song.
All right, non-Axl Rose songs.
Oh, my God.
If Axl Rose doesn't exist, for like, if he's an asshole, no, Guns N' Roses songs.
Here, I got one. This is a pretty easy one. But Thunder, basically any AC/DC song would have worked in this scene.
I mean, any hair metal song, really. Because, like, that's wrestling. That's wrestling, is hair metal.
Give me Every Rose Has Its Thorn as he walks out.
Oh, man.
Give me Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
School's Out.
It's the opposite of hair metal.
Yeah. School's Out by Alice
School's
Cooper.
Out.
I still think Heat of the Moment could be hilarious.
Is Black Sabbath considered hair metal?
Is what?
Is Black Sabbath considered hair metal?
No, that's considered like regular metal. Not a bit. Or Crazy Train, maybe.
Crazy Train.
Ozzy Osbourne. That would have been maybe a little too much.
For sure.
I'm trying to think of like Big Ballad. Any Way You Want It. That'd be a great one. Maybe Don't Stop Believing. I'm trying. That feels like too like.
Come on, Feel the Noise.
Yeah.
So it starts with Metal Health. What's the other? That's Come On, Feel the Noise, right from the other. Is Metal Health Ronnie James Dio? I don't know. I Want to Rock, maybe. Literally any hair metal. I think Heat of the Moment would be my favorite.
Yeah, fucking throw some Kiss on there. Who cares?
Oh yeah, would be a good. What's a good Kiss song?
I don't actually know any Kiss. We Built the City. Sure, that one. Who sings We Built the City on Rock and Roll? Who does that one?
I don't know. God, what a absolute. Imagine having your formative years formed by hair metal. What a shitty time to be alive.
Yeah, you're fucking weird.
When they're like, at the bar and they're like, "Oh yeah, Round and Round by Rat. This is good shit." I was like, "Holy shit. Stop." awful. I've got some great casting what ifs for this movie. So Aronofsky said that Mickey Rourke was the first choice. He's the guy who he wanted to play, but the studio really wanted Nicolas Cage to be Randy the Ram.
Yes, I would have been 100% in for that. He probably would have stopped cutting himself. He would have just been cutting himself the entire fucking movie.
Well, and here's the
just constantly bleeding in every scene.
Yeah. Apparently Aronofsky said that Nicolas Cage dropped out of the movie when he knew that Aronofsky really wanted Mickey Rourke. And then later Cage said, "No, I just couldn't. I had some issues with the script." And to get as built as a guy like an ex-wrestler who is on steroids, I would have had to work so hard, you know, because I would never do steroids. Which makes you think that he's kind of shading Mickey Rourke, being like, did Mickey Rourke do steroids for this movie?
Maybe. Oh, I mean, Mickey Rourke obviously did steroids in his life.
Yeah. He's like, so jacked and so cut. It's so upsetting.
But honestly, I would fucking kill to see Nicolas Cage on steroids. Could you imagine how terrifying of a creature he would be if he was roided up?
What's the most jacked Nicolas Cage has ever been?
Honestly, probably Con Air. Yeah.
He wasn't even that ripped, I feel like.
He was ripped in like the 80s.
Mandy recently.
Yeah.
He wasn't even ripped. He was like, he was.
Man meat, yeah. Bad bod ripped.
He was meaty. But yeah, he was like, he never got more ripped than like, you know, like Harrison Ford, like standard, like 80s, 90s, or like 80s ripped, like non Schwarzenegger ripped.
Right. Like big muscles. And you could see that he had like abs, but he was never like six pack.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. He's also, I don't know how tall he is. I wonder how imposing he would be.
I bet he's 6'3". It might be one of those Hollywood height things. Where you're like, oh, this person's like 6'2", and they're like 5'7". He's six foot.
Oh, he actually got pretty ripped for Ghost Rider. Looking at some screenshots, too.
No, didn't they CGI his abs in that movie?
Oh, wait, did they?
Yeah. Isn't that the famous hilarious. Case of like, he wasn't ripped enough, so they CGI'd some abs on him?
I have that's no amazing. Idea, but if that's true, that is hilarious.
God, I love that.
I don't like... You're a Hollywood star. You're literally paid to look good for people. Like, if you can't get fucking jacked, retire.
It's Hollywood, baby. Just because you're a Coppola doesn't mean that you can't refuse getting jacked. Hulk Hogan also claimed that he was offered the role for Randy the Ram Robinson, but he turned it down because he felt like he wouldn't be the right person to play it. Aronofsky said that Hulk Hogan was never in the running for the role, and it was only
thank God
his only choice was Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, I think it's the right choice. Mickey Rourke fucking killed it. Yeah. I could not imagine really anyone else in this role.
Oh yeah, maybe like Sylvester Stallone or something.
Yeah, I mean someone. It needs to be someone weathered.
Yeah, someone in Sylvester Stallone has got a similar like. Who fucked him up? Like why?
I feel like he's got a little. He's still a little too confident for me though.
Yeah, he needs a little bit more broken down.
Yeah,
I mean think about how confident Mickey Rourke was in Iron Man 2. Like I think, yeah, he was doing some good acting in this movie.
That's post wrestler.
That's what?
Iron Man 2's post wrestler.
Sure, sure. But I'm saying I think he's acting. I don't think he's this fucking.
Oh, yeah. Weird. No, for sure. Although I do love to imagine that this is just how he is all the time.
Just angry.
Just saying. I bet to a certain extent he is.
He carries around those three that losses deep in his heart.
It's like, I should have killed those guys.
Yeah.
And then the first scene of Randy actually working the Deller was improvised. Real customers kept walking up to the counter during the filming, and then Aronofsky told Mickey Rourke to take their orders, and then he kept the camera rolling. So, and also all the backstage locker room scenes were improvised in this movie.
I love how they couldn't even shut down the grocery store to film. Just film after hours or something. Like,
yeah, no, they're like, we need to have it in the daytime and all that, so just like tell people not to come up. And they're like, no, I'm gonna come up, and I'm gonna ask this fucked up looking guy for my potato salad.
Yeah,
and he's gonna give it to me. The video game that Randy and his child neighbor play in both in the movie was created especially for the film and was fully playable. The game features similar graphics to the original WWF WrestleMania Nintendo game that came out in 1989. So Aronofsky had these guys
sick mod
build a game for this movie that was fully playable, which is hilarious.
That's where all the budget went. That's why they couldn't afford Sweet Child of Mine.
Yep.
Like, Darren, we can either make this game or get Sweet Child of Mine. It's like, let me talk to Axel.
Yeah, get me Axel on the phone.
I can't get a video game for free, but I can get the music licensing for free.
Exactly. Appeal to his heart. Axl Rose. I wonder how they talk that into him.
Is he still alive?
Axl Rose? Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's been fired from Guns N' Roses, though.
Oh, wow. I thought they made amends or something recently. Not recently, but in the last couple years.
I tell you what, I haven't been following the news very closely.
58. Yeah, I just feel like I heard something where like they made peace and it was a big deal.
God, I thought they had another thing.
Slash and him were the ones that were like at odds.
Are there other people in that band?
Yeah.
Like Slash and Axl were at it again. Oh no, Buster Davis and John Floppenheim were busy getting wasted at the bar. All right. During his boxing career, Mickey Rourke's entrance song was Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh, fuck yeah. That is.
So that's where it all
comes
together.
It all makes sense.
That's why he got the song for free.
Yeah.
That right there is the money. That's why.
Oh, yeah. So I wonder, do you have to pay to have what your walkout song is?
You probably pay it like a licensing fee, like royalties every time you use it.
I wonder.
Maybe not for the event part is the issue, but like once it started being filmed, it must have become a concern.
Yeah, I mean, for like those WrestleMania like DVDs, do they play like the walkout song still? I mean, they must have the rights, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But like when they choose a walkout song, it's like, all right, here are the songs we have the rights to. Pick one of these.
Yeah. Probably. Or they just get like an original composition.
Yeah,
because I think about that for baseball too, with what their walkout songs, like they're blaring that shit in a stadium, and I guess you don't really hear that shit on TV, but you would assume some money needs to be exchanged for that to happen.
Yeah, oh, just like yeah. any old song, like the playlist that they use at the baseball stadiums. I feel like if they were playing my songs at baseball stadiums, it'd be like, you're entertaining your customers with my music.
Oh, yeah, I would nickel and dime those fucking stadiums for every penny they had.
I'm sure there's a system.
There's got to be.
Some exchange. All right, boys. This is a little bit less divisive than The Fountain, I think. But how do we view this? Better or worse than The Fountain?
Better. I don't think there's much question.
Great movie, dude.
Yeah, I think great movie, great choice, Elmer. So, Rob, you're up next. Have you made your decision yet, or should everyone wait till next week?
Nah, dude. We watching Noah. We about to get biblical.
Shit. Noah. Oh, man. I'm very interested to see what this could possibly be like.
You've never seen it?
Correct. Elmer, have you seen it?
But have you seen Bruce Almighty?
Yes.
Evan Almighty. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Evan Almighty's the important one.
Yeah, Evan Almighty's the one about Noah's Ark.
Now, I know the story of Noah's Ark, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. You think you know the story of Noah's Ark. You watch this movie, you don't know the story of Noah's Ark until you've seen this movie.
Emma Watson is in this movie?
Yeah, she is.
Anthony Hopkins? What the?
Yeah, he is.
This movie's over 2 hours. What is this movie? What could this possibly be about?
Bruh.
It's about saving two animals at a time. Put them in a boat. Head to the promised land.
Why didn't... I don't know. All right. Well, this will have
Look at how much money that movie made.
I'm looking at it. It's a lot. It's a lot of money. Oh, God. It's not that much, but it's definitely enough. So,
it's more than any other movie he's made.
It's got Jennifer Connelly in, so I am very into it. Interesting. I'm interested to see this movie. I don't know. What's the Rotten Tomatoes on this movie?
Let me check. I think, that's Robin Hood. Rotten Tomatoes.
76% approval.
That's not bad. The Christians didn't like it because, like, they're like, oh, it's too ridiculous. It's nothing like it's described in the Bible. The ironic thing is, it's exactly like it's described in the Bible.
God damn, I bet it is.
You've got the Nephilim and everything. You've got, like, these weird fucking alien slash angel creatures coming down. Because, like, that shit's all actually biblical. Like, it's the most literal adaptation of the Bible we've ever got.
Oh, boy.
And all the people who went to fucking Sunday school are like, hey, that's not how it happened.
Yeah, my version is less weird. I'm like, well, it's actually weirder.
Yeah. It's like, that sounds like a you problem. And you didn't read the text, so
yeah. Sit down, read shut up, read watch the your weird ass book before you start nitpicking. Be like Tolkien fans, except that there's a lot of contradictions in the books, and just deal with it because the overall story's cool. But don't look into it too much.
Look at how fucking rugged Russell Crowe looks in this movie.
He's in that state of being Muslim.
He always looks like he's like 2 bad weeks away from being homeless.
Yes. That is his aesthetic.
All right, boys. Well, we will see our nuts next week.